This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the weekend edition of Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. Heard daily on this station at 8:20 a.m. and 5:20 p.m. Truth Matters is a ministry of the Truth Project, whose mission is to empower men and women in the Christian faith to teach biblical truth in the culture and marketplace of ideas, using the Bible as a sacred trust of truth and sharing the message of Jesus. Learn more about the ministry of the Truth Project at www.projecttruthmatters.com. This weekend, our host touches on the four heavens, the new city, and much more. Let's join this week's extended edition.
Hello, I'm Dr. Cheryl Davis, and thank you for listening to Truth Matters. I don't know about you, but this is some of my favorite verses in Scripture when he says specifically, the old order of things will be passed away. And when I think of old order, I think about the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and they established the order in which we live today. But I'm encouraged that the old order one day is going to pass away. So let's get into these verses and dissect them one by one. You know, the first theme of these eight verses is that God is going to make all things new. Verse 1 and verse 5 repeat the theme that God is going to make all things new. The old creations will be done away with, and behold, all things are new. If you look in verse 1, there was no more sea on the new earth. Notice it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. The sea will not be needed, as its present purpose is to serve as a reservoir for water. We will be living in our resurrected bodies with no need of water. Resurrected bodies will be composed like that of the Lord Jesus, of flesh and bone, and we know that by seeing Jesus' resurrected body in Luke 24:39 and Philippians, but apparently with no need of blood. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 15:50. There's going to be no need of blood to serve as a cleanser and a restorer of the body's flesh as at present. Our blood carries waste to the kidneys to then be excreted. Blood also carries waste to our liver to then be excreted as well. So our resurrected bodies will have no need of blood because we will have no need of waste removal. Peter offers great insight into the new heaven and the new earth. So let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. The key point that I really want you to understand is that the former earth is going to be passed away. When the new order comes in, the old has to go out. So the old order of things, the old heaven and earth, it will melt in fervent heat, as 2 Peter says. However, we will spend eternity in the new city, which will be centered mainly here on earth. There are some Christians today believe that we're going to be living in the cosmos. We're going to travel at the speed of light. They don't necessarily understand that the new heaven, the new earth, the holy city, New Jerusalem, will be situated here on earth. So let's get into the New Jerusalem, which chapter 21 gets into in the next few verses. So we're going to read verses 9 through 27. One of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them these names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city did not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we've always heard of this great city if you've sat in church. So first, let's look into the location of the city. When we talk about heaven, let's figure out, you know, which heaven we're talking about, because you hear about heaven in the Bible a number of times. But we know there are four heavens in the Bible, and we find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And so we know that heaven is where God resides. But also in 2 Corinthians 12, 2, verse 2 says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was called up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And so we know that from these verses, there are more than one heaven. So the first heaven is the atmosphere, the air we breathe, where the birds fly and the airplanes fly. The second heaven is outer space, where the sun, the moons, the planets, and the galaxies are located. The third heaven is where God resides, and those verses that I just read from 2 Corinthians confirms that. But I want you to know that this is where we go when we die in Christ. It is temporary. Our bodies go into the ground, but our spirits go to the third heaven, where God currently resides right now. Most people think that their spirits will reside there forever, but this is just temporary. This is our temporary dwelling place until the rapture. For those that die before the rapture, the third heaven is the temporary dwelling place until the rapture occurs. And the fourth heaven is the new heaven and the new earth that has yet to be created, which is spoken of here in Revelation. It will be centered mainly right here on this earth. This earth will be our final dwelling place, not the third heaven where God dwells. But the Bible is pretty clear about this. Let's go to Psalms 37, verse 9. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That will be the land here on earth, but not in the same form that it is currently, obviously. And Matthew 5 and 5, which is the Beatitudes, verse 5 says, Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So this is proof that the new heaven and the new earth, which is in the future, will be situated here on earth. So we've talked about the location of the city. Let's then look at the architect of the city. The New Jerusalem is a literal city that will be the capital of the new heaven and the new earth. And it is very clear who the architect is. And if you're thinking who the architect is, you probably have a really good idea. But let's get into Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. And this will tell us who the architect of the new city is. For he who was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know, this is the Hall of Faith chapter that many of us know, that Abraham accepted the promise, but knowing that he was a wanderer and he was looking forward to the city whose architect and builder is God. So we know that the architect is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in Revelation 21, verses 5 through 6, it really reiterates this. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one designing and building the new city. Jesus is involved and serves really two purposes after his resurrection. When people are wondering, what is Jesus doing right now after he came to earth and ministered on the earth 3.5 years, died and was resurrected, what is he doing right now? And he's involved in two ways. One, he's interceding for us. And then in John, he tells us he goes away to prepare a place for us. So if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So that is where Jesus Christ is right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, because he is the ultimate intercessor, having lived within the flesh, fully God, fully man, but understands our struggles completely, so he can intercede for us. So he's interceding for us even at this moment. And John 14, he says in verses 1 through 3, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." So this is evidence that, one, Jesus is interceding for us, but two, he is preparing a place for us at this moment. But if you remember what Jesus's occupation was here on earth, he was a carpenter. You know, and I thought that was very interesting as to how fitting. He was a builder. He was a carpenter. But in heaven, he's building right now and preparing a place for us. So we've talked about the location of the city. We've talked about the architect of the city. Now let's talk about the inhabitants of the city. Who do you think is going to be in heaven? And I know we're hoping that all our family members are going to be there, everyone that we love. It's God's intention that heaven be for everyone. You know, not everyone's going to accept that gift. The only people who will have a place in the New Jerusalem are the overcomers. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, "Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Jesus used the term overcomer 7 times in his letters to the 7 churches in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. Let's go on to chapter 3 and read verse 5. He's speaking to the church at Sardis. "The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels." He talks about those that are overcomers. These are really the true believers in Christ. And 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5 talks about that. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." So I think this is clear as it reiterates what Jesus said in John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." So today, when you hear these false teachings that there are multiple ways to heaven, you can go to heaven on your own terms. A general goodness is a good prerequisite or a good entry point into heaven. That's not true. Clear in 1 John, it says, "Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." It is that basic tenet. And you judge other faiths, other religions, based on how they define Jesus, how they define who he is, how they define who we believe he was, and what his purpose is. So these are the true believers in Christ. Those that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God will be those that enter into heaven. And the Bible tells us that too. We don't have to wonder. And that's what I like about the Word of God. It's not vague. It has specific answers to our questions. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 tells us who will not be in heaven. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic acts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur." And this list is similar to the same list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers will inherit the kingdom of God." The Bible is very clear and explicit. But I want to bring a very important point here, because I don't want you to think that you have to be perfect. The scripture does not say that anyone who has ever done any of these acts can't go to heaven. Because if that was the case, there would be no one going to heaven. All of us have committed sins that are on the list that I read just a minute ago. Because all of us are guilty of one or many of these sins. If not in deed, then in mind and heart. And I think that's what we forget. We think if we haven't committed acts and deeds, then we're not guilty. But we forget about our minds and our hearts. Jesus Christ knows our minds and our hearts even better than we do.
You've been listening to the weekend edition of Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. Truth Matters is a ministry of the Truth Project, a North Carolina-based ministry dedicated to teaching biblical truth and sound theology to those inside and outside of the church. If you'd like to listen to these messages on demand, go to projecttruthmatters.com and click on the podcast link. Dr. Davis is also available to speak to your ministry group or church function. She can be reached by email at CherylDavis@projecttruthmatters.com. Or if you'd like to send a letter, the address is Project Truth Matters, Post Office Box 159, St. Paul's, North Carolina, 28384. You can hear Truth Matters devotionals on weekdays at 8:20 a.m. and 5:20 p.m. Until next time, let's all work together to teach of biblical truth, to assist, equip, edify, and encourage one another, and bring the gospel to the world, because truth matters.
This is the Truth Network.